Well, welcome everyone today. Thank you for all coming out on this weekend between Christmas and New Year's. Thank you for joining us today. I want to also thank all of the people who assisted and contributed to our holiday celebrations thus far. We do have one more to go, that being the World Peace Meditation, but just a quick count of the number of people that have attended our services thus far. We're over 200 people have attended the Drumming Circle, the Solstice, and then at Christmas Eve. So thank you all for coming, and thank for all those who did all of the work in preparing for that and allowing these celebrations to continue. But it doesn't mean that we don't have areas for improvement. And that's one of the things that I strive to do, is to always try to make our services better and more meaningful. And there were a couple things that really come to mind. And the first is, I think we need some work around the candles. I mean, we came perilously close to burning the place down on, on Solstice. And in an effort to be more candle-wise in what we did, I managed to fail to tell the congregation where their candles were for the candlelight ceremony. So a suggestion for improvement would be to let the people know where the candles are. I had to interrupt the song to let everybody know where the candles were. We had 76 people here that night in the congregation, another 15 in the choir and musicians. And after I interrupted the song and let everybody know where the candles were under your chair, I noticed there wasn't anybody singing. The only people singing was the choir. So I looked up and turned around, and there were 76 fannies in the air of everybody turned around. Look, we've got room for improvement. That's all. We'll work on that. And then the other really key thing that we kind of blew it on is the manger. Now, there is a real message in the manger. And I don't think everybody got it. Behold the Christ. So on your way out today, if you didn't get it on Christmas Eve, go in and look at the manger and look at the Christ. I'm sure there are a lot of other areas that we can improve on, but those are a couple that came to mind. And once again, thanks to Bob for building the manger and getting the figures, the figurines. It was awesome. Let's see, since we're already off task, I'll tell us a story of a minister who decided to play hooky. This would never happen up here, but in the lower 48, this minister decided he was going to take a Sunday off. And so he called in sick on Sunday, and he went out to play golf. So he was smart about it. He got a tee time over in the next county and got up early in the morning and drove over to the next county and got ready to play his round of golf. And he came up to the first hole, and it's this big old long par five, and he got up ready with his driver and he hit it. That ball went up into the air, and just about then, a gust of wind caught that ball and blew it further and further and further, and then it dropped right down, bounced up onto the green, rolled across the green, and right into the hole. At that point, the angel Gabriel turned to God, and he says, "God, why did you do that? It's like you're rewarding him for playing hooky." God says, "Yeah, who's he going to tell?" Okay, now we can get to work. The title of my talk today is Framing Our Future. And my first point is that thoughts become things. And then I'm going to talk about how our voice gives impetus to those thoughts. And then thirdly, our words are like seeds. First of all, thoughts become things. In Proverbs, in the Hebrew Scriptures, we are told that for as he thinks within himself, so he is. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. In other words, you know, Our thoughts are powerful. This phrase, "as a man thinketh," was the title of an essay by James Allen in 1903, "As a Man Thinketh." The overall theme of this essay, and it was powerful, it's not a coincidence. This is at the same time that Ernest Holmes was forming many of his own thoughts about these subjects. But our lives are the result of our thoughts. So therefore, if you want to change your life, you can do so by changing your thinking. Change your thinking, change your life. My second point is that our voice gives impetus to those thoughts. This is from Ernest Holmes in Living the Science of Mind. "Our thought does not go out to influence persons or things. What it does is to readjust our own consciousness, our own thinking, to include a larger and more harmonious field of action. We learn that when we get our own consciousness straightened out, that things on our external world adjust themselves to meet our new and better inward awareness." This is really a key point. Critics of our philosophy and our way of thinking often say that we are Pollyanna, we are do-gooders, create wealth, have a better life. We ignore the facts in the world. We ignore the trouble and the strife and difficulty within the world. And that's not the point at all. We don't claim to be able to change the world. This is exactly right. Holmes hits this. Our thought does not go out to influence persons or things. We don't change the effect in the world. What it does is to readjust our own consciousness, our own thinking, to include a larger and more harmonious field of action. We learn that when we get our own consciousness straightened out, that things in our external world adjust themselves to meet our new and better inward awareness. This does not deny the cessation of cancer. It does not mean that miracles don't happen following prayer. I mean, we see this all the time in our center here. Right now on the minister's listserv, there are three there are miracles going on at this time. Total cessation of and remission of cancer. One lady wrote in, a minister, and she said, "My husband was just diagnosed with terminal cancer and he's got 2 to 3 months to live. We all request your prayers." Her next submission on the listserv was saying he went in for his next appointment with the doctor to figure out what they were going to do, and they couldn't find any cancer. Miracles like this happen. But that's not what this is all about. It's a change and shift in our own consciousness around that. And I'm going to tell a story of a guy by the name of Dan Light. He is a reserve tight end for the Denver Broncos. He plays on their practice squad. And when he was a junior in college, his father was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. His mom and dad did not tell Dan about this because they didn't want to influence his football that fall at the university that he was at. And so after football was over, they told him. And the first thing he did, he went to the football coach and told him he had to take a year off. He went to the dean and said he was going to be gone for a year. And he didn't care about the eligibility and the NCAA requirements and everything. But then he prayed. Now, I don't think he was in our philosophy, our line, but he went to his own higher power, to that infinite intelligence of the universe, and he prayed. He went home, just dropped out of school, for a term, and he and his dad took a number of trips. One of them, they rode their motorcycles from New York all the way down to the end of the Keys. They partied together, they sang together, they live their lives deeply and richly together. And as Dad's physical condition deteriorated, Dan, who is a strapping 6'5", 265 pounds, was able to carry Dad, was able to help his dad through to the very end. And Dan has written what a powerful experience that was for him. No, there wasn't a miracle in the remission of ALS. But what there was a shift in the consciousness of Dan around it and the consciousness of his parents around it. And they were able to accept this death in a deep and profound way, a way without the pain. Sure, we miss the people that go before us. We don't deny. But we don't need to carry that burden. I have no idea who Julia Penelope is, but this came out of the old foundations class, and it's talking about the power of our word. And Julia Penelope said, "Language is power in ways more literal than most people think. When we speak, we exercise the power of language to transform reality." Why don't more of us realize the connection between language and power? You see, in my opinion, I don't know, but this is exactly an example of the beautiful tradition of Kwanzaa. We are giving power to our word, to the structure, to honor this healing tradition. What a powerful thing, because we're giving our word to it. We're giving a structure around it. We're allowing this healing to occur. And my third point, our words are like seeds. In the Hebrew scriptures, once again, Proverbs, the tongue can bring death or life. In the Gospel of James, with our tongue we can bless life or curse life. But then it goes on a little bit further in James, and it compares our tongue, which is our speech, to a small rudder. And it says, a small rudder can change the course of a huge ship. A small tongue can change the course of a life. Our words are powerful. In foundations class, we have a little bit in the new 10-week one, but in the old 13-week foundations, we had a larger section on self-talk where we actually track what we say for a whole week. All of the self-talk we had. Oh, and there's some good stuff in there. Oh, it's really rich. We talk ourselves down so easily. I've written down some of the things that I have heard just since I started putting this together. And here's some of the self-talk that I've heard. Flu season is here. I'll probably catch it. The economy is bad. It's all because the price of oil is down and woe is me. The economy is bad. Third, I will never prosper. I'll always be broke. I'll never lose weight. I will never defeat that addiction. We can never afford a new church of our own. Well, if that's what we're putting forth into the universe is going to respond. The universe is going to give us exactly that. You claim flu, boy, it's happy. You got the flu. Economies, oh yeah, I'll give you a lousy economy. You don't want to prosper? Okay, you can be broke. That's your choice. Universe says, that's cool. Never don't lose weight? That's okay. I'll do that. You want to stay addicted? Universe is happy to provide. And if we want to stay where we are, paying $7,600 a month in rent, then yeah, Universal lettuce. As many of you know, I went to my high school 50th reunion this last summer. And I remember there was a guy, he was the captain of the football team. He was a big man on campus. He was quite the guy. And if you'd ever ask him, you know, how he was doing, his response, well, I'm getting older, fatter and bald. And it was, you know, a contrast because he was the big, lean star of the football team. But I'm getting old, fat, and bald. Boy, I'll tell you, 50 years later, he's old, fat, and bald. That really came true. But it's important to know, you know, we don't need to carry this around with us. Because there's another side to that coin, and that is that the universe is giving us a new moment, every moment, to change that. Every minute is a new opportunity to claim what you really want. When I first started with GE, we were down on Whitney Road, and there was a guy that worked for the city of Anchorage, and he came in to get his electrical parts every morning. Dringle was his name. And old Dringle had come in, and you could tell the minute Dringle walked in the door, "Good morning, Chief, you sure are looking good today." The first thing Dringle would say to you, "Good morning, Chief, you sure are looking good today." But Dringle eventually retired from the city. He moved to Houston. He became the mayor of Houston. Not Houston, Texas, Houston, Alaska. But one day, I said something to the effect, I said, "Well, thank you, Dringle, you're looking good today, too." And his reply was, "Today I'm looking really good." But you see, Dringle claimed it. "Today I'm looking really good." He took a positive approach to it. So I wrote some examples of some affirmations that we can say. I am strong. I am healthy. I am prosperous. My future is bright. I am victorious. It may look impossible on paper. I don't see the way right now, but I know that the divine creative force of the universe, which created the entire universe, can certainly create a new church home for us right now. There is a power in the universe that can conspire for our good. The one thing that I'd like for everybody to take away today is that concept that every minute is a new opportunity to claim what you really want. And you can do that in this moment. You can drop the negative self-talk and you can frame it in the power of your words to create the world that you want. When we come together, when we work, when we do this, we are capable of amazing things. You can do amazing things. And so with this idea, this concept of our own power, the power of our word, I would invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in love and light. And simply know that that creative power of the universe that is continually and forever expressing itself through and as us, only wants the very best for us. It absolutely wants us to be successful, to be free of addictions, to be prosperous, to be joy-filled, to have a life of meaning, to have a life of joy, to have a life of success. And so as I speak my word now, I simply know for each and every person who is facing a health challenge that there is a pattern of perfection. And I claim that pattern of perfection on behalf of each person who is experiencing a health challenge. For those that are experiencing the appearance of lack and limitation, I know that we live in an infinite universe and we are abundantly supplied. That each and every one of us is safe and secure and warm and dry and fed and clothed. And for each and every person who is experiencing separation, relationship issues, I just simply know that the very love of God that is at the heart of each and every one of us is within each and every one of us. And so every relationship at its very basis, regardless of what it may appear like, is founded on that love of God, the love of one person for another, encompassing all family relationships, encompassing all work relationships, all romantic relationships. It is the very love of God. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of this power, this presence of God. I give thanks for the power of my word. And I release these words to the working of, a law, of the law, allowing us to do amazing things. And so it is.